Area residents could see more expensive power bills in the new year after a rate increase was approved last week. And we take a look at the Haines High School cooking class, which feeds 100 community members on an almost weekly basis. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. 7,200 rural Alaskans will see their power bills go up after the first of the year. That's because the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, or RCA, last week approved an 11% rate increase for Alaska Power Company customers. That's lower than the hike the company asked for, but it's still more than many residents in Southeast and the interior say they can afford. Margaret Friedenauer of KHNS has more.
Alaska Power Company, or APC, told the RCA it needed to increase rates 18% to offset a $2 million revenue shortfall in 2012. Company officials cited decreasing population in its service areas, as well as a decline in demand as people make efforts to conserve energy. APC serves communities in northern Southeast, South Prince of Wales Island, and interior villages near Tok. The rate case has been ongoing for about a year. At a consumer input hearing in April, more than 30 people testified and opposed the rate increase. Many argued the same point, that residents and businesses have been trying to conserve energy to save money. But in doing so, they apparently shot themselves in the foot, if that's the reason APC is asking for a rate increase. Here's Haines resident Lee Horner.
I guess, all I have to say is I feel like I'm being punished for conserving energy.
Tok resident Rochelle Gribb said her power bill is already higher than her mortgage payment. She said she's worried about communities remaining viable if the cost of living continues to rise.
If you raise these rates, not only are you forcing us to leave, but you are forcing people who cannot afford this in Northway, in Santa Cruz, in Dot Lake, in Tetlin. And not only are you really messing with people's livelihoods and everything, you're destroying a culture and history.
At that meeting, APC Executive Vice President Michael Garrett said he knew that 18% was a steep increase, especially for communities like Tok and surrounding villages. But he said those are also some of the communities where it costs the most to operate. He said also he didn't expect to get approval for an 18% increase, but to use it as a starting point for a settlement. And that's what happened. Stephen DeVries is an attorney with the State Regulatory Affairs and Public Advocacy Office. He represented APC customers in the case. He met with APC in October, and they struck a deal for an 11% increase. Not everyone agreed with the settlement. It needed the approval from the communities who elected to participate in the case. Those were Skagway, Haines, Craig, Thorne Bay, and Kaufman Cove. Elected officials in those communities received confidential briefings from their attorneys and all voted to approve the settlement. In Haines, only half the borough assembly supported it. Mayor Jan Hill had to break the tie vote to support the settlement. Then it went to the RCA for approval. Three of the five RCA commissioners were assigned to review the settlement, and two approved it. One dissented, saying the settlement did not address certain questions about revenue and how much money APC would net from the increase. Stephanie Scott was the Haines mayor when the borough assembly decided to be involved in the case. She lost re-election in October but remained interested in the case. She says the process of the settlement upsets her. She did not know a settlement was a possibility or that the communities could present their own witnesses to testify. She says she wants more details about what led DeVries and the communities to agree to a settlement.
The problem is that the process camouflages the reason for the justification for overlooking the recommendations of the expert witnesses that the AG brought to the process. I hate to be combative about the rate when I don't know the reason behind the decision.
DeVries wouldn't speak on tape, but he explained the process of the case. He says that even though his own expert witnesses recommended only a 5% rate increase, APC refuted those recommendations. All that testimony is in the public record, but State Attorney DeVries says he cannot explain his reasoning to go with the 11% number because that would show his hand when he has to deal with future rate cases. Haynesboro Assembly members who voted for the settlement also declined to explain why, saying the talks about the settlement were confidential. Former Mayor Scott says the communities missed a chance to stand up for high energy costs.
I think we need to think differently about our cost of energy. We've just failed, in my mind, to reduce our cost of energy.
The increase will go into effect after the first of the year. It affects two line items on the bill, not the overall amount. It means a customer in Haynes will see about 1.5 cent increase for each kilowatt hour and a higher customer charge. Kilowatt hours for other communities vary within APC service areas. Tok residents currently pay 31 cents per kilowatt hour. That's before the new increase. APC is expected to revise its rates again next year because it needs to fold in the newly acquired Gustavus Electric into its rate structure. Reporting from Haynes, I'm Margaret Friedenauer.
The culinary arts class at Haynes High School doesn't just teach students how to cook. It sells dozens of lunches to the community nearly every week. The class has become one of the most popular at the school, and the number of people who order their lunches has grown from 11 to more than 100.
Okay, so the important thing about this is just that the cheese melts on its own accord.
It's a busy Thursday in Lily Boron's cooking class.
Okay, we're going to serve in 7 minutes.
This is the last lunch they'll make this year. Senior Paige Wing describes the meal.
Pork with applesauce, rice, apple cake, and cheese with broccoli. Or broccoli with cheese.
The culinary arts class is an elective that stuck around after the school's home economics program diminished. Students learn about nutrition, cooking, and locally sourced food. And almost every Thursday, they put what they learn into practice, making food from a menu Boron creates. As it gets closer to 11:30, the students start scooping the pork, broccoli, and cake into more than 100 containers. Victoria Moore is waiting outside the cooking classroom to pick up her lunch.
It's just fantastic and healthy.
Moore has been ordering the $6 lunches for a couple of years.
Probably the halibut sticks out. Everything they've done with the halibut has just been wonderful.
Dozens more people from around the community will pick up their lunches in the next half hour. Boron says the money they earn from this helps pay for ingredients. That's the reason she decided to make selling lunches part of the cooking class. Boron remembers when they first started a few years ago.
Our first class was the year that Dawson was building the addition on the school. So our first set of customers were those 11 guys that were working on the other side of the plastic barrier.
Now they're averaging 100 to 120 customers a week.
They're not saying, oh, this is such a cute class. Look at the kids working. They go, I came here, I ordered 10 lunches, and I'm ready to go. Here's my money. So they take us seriously.
Yeah, I feel like they're sometimes really surprised if they haven't had the lunches before. Like my parents were like, wow, you guys made this stuff? That's pretty cool.
That's student Jenny Humphrey. About 20 years ago, Boron managed Chilkat Restaurant Bakery. Here, she manages a sort of student-run restaurant. But the first priority is education, not making money.
The reality is this is a cooking class first, and it's a commercial operation. It's not a commercial operation. It's a business second. And I never want to feel bad if the cake is slightly off or the cookie is slightly small. I want to feel great because we're teaching kids a skill that's going to last for a long time.
There have been meals that don't go so well, like the beef fajitas. They were expensive and it was too time-consuming to hand-roll 200 tortillas. That's why each Friday the students evaluate how the meal turned out and what they could improve. Boron says the class gives students employability skills. It also expands their cooking ability. Senior Zach Lambert says before this class, his after-school dinners came out of a can or a box, like chili or ramen.
But now, like, I've made, like, the blackened halibut quite a few times that we've made in this class, like with this seasoning with a bunch of different spices in it. And, like, I never would have made that before, like, taking the time to go and prepare all that.
Boron says a handful of her cooking students have gone into culinary or nutrition fields.
And then the other thing that warms my heart is that, you know, I'll get an email from a kid who's been in college for 3 years and they'll say, Miss Boron, I'm making dinner for my friends and I've lost my recipe for cheesecake. Can you send it to me? Or how do you make that salsa again? So that's really neat too.
The class teaches valuable skills, but it's also a lot of work. Boron says every year she questions whether she wants to teach it again.
And then I'll see some little elementary school kid come tottering up saying, when I get to high school, I'm going to take your cooking class. So who knows how long it'll last, but I'm going to enjoy it as long as it does.
And their customers will keep enjoying the class's culinary creations. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.